Okay, so this is part one of eight, and I need to explain what that means, part one of eight. I need to be careful I use the back of the fork here and not hit the screen. So for months now, as we've watched Sunday to September 20th, 2020. Did I put that on there? I didn't put the date. Okay. I'm still hitting stuff. Okay, so for months now, as we've seen the virus, we've seen protesters. Protesting is fine. That's part of being an American. But some of these guys are becoming what I call stage three liberals. And they're falling into real hatred of America. And part of that is a false history. You've got false news. You've got false science. You've got false history going on from my perspective. I'm going to use my pointer here from my perspective. And so I thought, well, I want to give a different perspective, a different understanding of the world around us. So that's my name, Paul Abramson. We're in Evansville, Indiana. And next slide, please. I guess I'll motion to you here when I need to, Dave. And I got to keep going forward here until I'm not hitting things. Okay. So, go one more, please. That was a polar bear. That was a polar bear in a snowstorm eating an ice cream cone. Okay. So what I was supposed to talk on today, which I'm not going to talk about, is world history from creation until now through the millennium. Next slide, please. I am not going to talk about the creation week. I'm using 4004 BC. That was Bishop Usher's date from a few hundred years ago. It may have been a few years either before or after that. And then 2020, current times with the millennium. 6,000 years and then the millennium. Next slide, please. I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not going to talk about that we have the 1,000-year reign of Christ after the 7 years of tribulation. Okay, next slide, please. And that in the middle of time, if you divide these 6 days, the 6 days of creation, the 6,000 years, isn't this interesting? About 1,000 BC, because it's been about, according to the Bible time frame, it's been about 6,000 years. So 3,000 years from creation until the time of David and Solomon, when Israel was at its height. That's very interesting, isn't it? About another 3,000 years from 1,000 BC until today. That's interesting, isn't it? What a funny coincidence, since that Bible was written by shepherds and stuff. I'm sorry, skeptics. I'm sorry. Go ahead and keep hiding, skeptics. Okay. Oh, I'm going to put this on the internet, by the way. Okay. Next one, please.
Are you teaching yet?
Kind of. Yeah, I am. Okay. So there's a verse in 2 Peter 3:8. For as with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. I think that has more meaning than what we understand. Yeah. Yeah, as long as I'm still in there, and then I'll insert slides for the I'll put an overlay, but that way they can see what people in the room are seeing. Okay, next slide, please. You can also divide time, our time on earth, into thirds. Now, why this is, I don't know. Excuse me, some of this stuff, I don't know why it is. It is, simply is true. Okay, from creation until Abraham and Job is about 2,000 years. Now, we do not know that Abraham, first called Abram, then Abraham. We don't know that they knew each other. In fact, in the Bible, it doesn't say they knew each other at all. But they seem to have been contemporaneous. Did I say that word right? Hey, that was a big word, too. Okay. So, so we are teaching now. Yeah, we're using big words. And then about 2,000 years until the time of Christ, from Abraham till the time of Christ, and about 2,000 years till today. That's interesting, isn't it? Next slide, please. So, and then we add the flood in here, the year of the flood. The flood was not 40 days and 40 nights. It did rain for 40 days and 40 nights. The flood was about a year long. The waters were rising for about 150 days. Again, I'm not going to talk about this because I have a different topic. Okay, so this is not what we're going to talk about. And then we get the current times, 7 years of tribulation, and then the millennium. This is not exactly the scale. You see, I made this 1,000 years too big. Go ahead, next slide. And so that one third, next one. One third, or next slide, one half. So you could divide history this way. Again, I'm not going to talk about this. Next slide, please. And now, what's interesting also is the Bible as we know it, was written in about the middle of time. Excuse me, I got to get my Bible. Come to church and didn't bring my Bible. No, I got it here. I got one. Okay, so you've got Job lived about the same time as Abraham. Then there's about a 400-year gap. If you remember, the children of Israel went into Egypt for 400 years. Mm-hmm. About a 400-year gap. Then you've got Moses and the prophets, the wisdom books, all the rest of the Old Testament. I should be using my pointer here, just not touching the screen. Then you got about another 400-year gap, and then the New Testament. The New Testament was all written in one generation, right after Christ, before all the apostles passed away. Most of the New Testament, except for Revelation, was written by about 62 or 63 A.D., because events of 65, 67, 68, and A.D. 70 are not mentioned at all. So we know it was written. Now, liberal theologians, I sure wouldn't want to be a liberal theologian going to Judgment Day. Ooh, they say, oh, it was written later. We can't trust it. No, I'm sorry. Nero's not mentioned. Christian persecution by the Roman authorities. The fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 is not mentioned. It was finished, except for the book of Revelation, all before about AD 63, about that time. Next slide, please. So the entire Bible was written. Why this is, I don't know. I don't know why. Was written in about the middle of human history. Okay? Now, before this, they lived much longer. Before the flood, people lived for 800, 900 years or longer. They had better brains than us. They could probably run farther, jump higher, faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful. Okay, you get the idea. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Okay, so anyway, up until the time of Abraham, and if you put out in, I think it's Genesis chapter 11, where they have the generations, it's chapter 10 or 11, Abraham could have known Shem. In fact, Melchizedek could have been Shem. That's one theory. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about this today. Next slide, please. I think that's it, isn't it? Okay, so I'm not going to talk about all that because I have a different topic, okay? Now I got to go forward in my notes here. No, keep it on the screen, I guess, because we got to have this here. Oh, the other thing I'm not going to talk about today, please, next screen, please, is supposed Bible contradictions. Probably everybody here knows, almost everybody, I lived in Berkeley, California for 5 years, Berkeley, Berserkly. I'm a conservative Christian. I believe that the Bible really is true. And I had friends who were atheists, hardcore skeptics. Some knew I was a Christian, some didn't. I mean, sometimes it wasn't worth it at telling someone because then they, you know, get all like, oh, how can you be a Christian? But I actually would ask if I could speak to an atheist group or I got invited and I would gladly speak to them. And again, I'm not talking about that here, but, oh, that Bible's full of contradictions. It is? What are some of the contradictions? I don't know, but it's full of them. Okay, what are some of them? Do you understand what's at stake? Pain does not stop at death. Think this through a little bit. This is a temporary time of learning and testing. What makes you think pain stops at death? Anyway, we'll get into that later. But it's like the supposed Bible contradictions, they're not there. They have these long lists. And so I'll say, well, give me three. Give me three of the worst ones that will leave me like, oh, I guess that Bible wasn't true after all. Then I can be a smart skeptic, in quotes, and be above those religious people, okay? Anyway, find the hardest ones, and then let me try to answer it. Next one, please. So we're not going to talk about that. Okay, what we are going to talk about, and let me give you a couple of the contradictions. That's what I should talk about. Okay, so like in one of them, of these 110, 120, that one of the books in the New Testament says that Matthew was called by Jesus. Another one says Levi. Well, it's the same person, his Greek name or his Hebrew name. Simon Peter, Simon in one, Peter in the other, okay? Back in 1st or 2nd Samuel, it talks about how many chariots Solomon had. Another place it says how many horses he had, and it's like 10 times. And they go, oh, look, there's a contradiction in the Bible. These were not one-horse open sleighs, right? These are six or eight chariots. Watch a movie sometime. Watch Ben-Hur, Gladiator. Get out more often. Okay? Of course, you had 10 times as many horses as you did chariots. Come on. Okay, so now, but again, I'm not going to talk about that, okay? That's not our subject. Okay, next slide, please. Lord willing, I want to do an 8-part series. I love to read. I brought some books. You can't see them yet. I brought a whole bunch of books that I'm going to show later, and also I'm going to refer back and forth to them. To the people in the room, if I say something that doesn't make sense, then please raise your hand, okay? Now everyone's raising their hand. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking here, folks, on the video. But I'm going to put this online. Maybe 12 people will see it. I don't know. But I have a strong burden. I don't see our Judeo-Christian heritage being defended, that this is logical, that this is scientific. And we need to do that. And so I am the editor of I have two websites, paulzilla.org. That was a nickname I had. I lived in Japan for 5 years. And then I also have creationism.org, which is in over 100 languages. Okay, so anyway, this is part one, introduction and the intellectual foundation, which we're going to get into. And I'll talk about these later. Part two, the Christian gospel message. What is this life all about? Finding out that we have a God, we have a Savior, we are sinners, we need God's help, and how to come to Him. Okay? Part three will be about the Bible and creation theory, or creationism, it is called, versus evolution. Part four, nutrition, toxins, rest, and Proverbs. Why am I going to talk about this? Because our young people are dying. Have you seen how malnutritioned so many young people are these days? They're walking around dying. Oh, I need an energy drink. No, buy some orange juice, right? Get a vitamin. Yeah, right? Have some protein. Oh, but I need to go to the fast food place. They're dying, okay? They don't know anything about nutrition, and the doctors aren't any help. For COVID, have they told you to take vitamin D and zinc to make your immune system better? They haven't, have they? They're like, oh, well, we need an official vaccine. We need this. Okay, sorry. I need to stay on topic here. Anyway, so I'm going to talk about that. Toxins in our environment, vaccines, nutrition, rest, and the book of Proverbs, actually, that's tacked on there. It may sound odd. Maybe it'll make sense at the time. Finances and emergency preparations. Satan wants to pull us down in lots of ways. We're living in one of the worst stages of deception, probably the worst stage of deception in the history of the world. If he can't pull you down spiritually, you get caught in finance. How many young people these days are deeply in debt from college? You know this, right? Isn't it just tragic? $50,000. I was talking to three young doctors. Their internship. All of them were like $500,000 in debt. $500,000 of debt just to start their career. This is just horrible. Anyway, okay, finances. Part six, politics, dictators, U.S. history, and America's future. Part seven, world history. I love world history. That was my degree in college. I went to Portland State University. I've hit all the hot spots. I told you I lived in Berkeley. I went to college in Portland. I went to high school in Seattle. Yeah, aren't you glad that you're closer to the door than me? I'm setting up my own police free zone. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I need to stay on topic here. Okay. Anyway, but the Lord, I believe, has prepared me. And I've lived overseas twice. I was in Germany for a few years, and I've been back a couple times. Lived in Japan for 5 years, as I said. Lived in Berkeley for 5 years. I've traveled all around in Southeast Asia. Spent a month in Israel on an archaeological dig. I've been blessed to do a lot of stuff. Anyway, part eight will be summary and miscellaneous. I am trying to survive in life, and so I don't know when I can do the other seven. But because today was coming up, I thought, well, I'll start this first part. Okay, so now we're ready. I'm ready to start my message, and I'm going to speak quickly because I don't want people to have to be here too long and stuff like that. I'm going to stop and pray. I know we prayed before we started. Let me pray for us here. Father in heaven, I pray for wisdom for each person who is here in this room and also those who see this video later. Lord, your word, the Bible, tells us any man who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It's an open invitation, but we have to ask for it. You're not going to force your wisdom on us. You're not going to force your Savior on us. You're not going to force us to believe and follow you and love you. It's our choice. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. It's our decision to reach out. Help us, Father, to be the kind of people who you want us to be. I pray for each person who's watching and listening to this. Help us, Lord. Protect us from deceptions. Help us, God. In Jesus' name, in the Messiah's name, amen. Okay, now, I told you about these other parts. You've probably, if you've heard me talk before, which the people in this room have. Yeah, I guess focus it back on me. Thanks. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. So, and then, and quit making faces at me. No, I'm just joking. They can't see what's going on. Okay, if you've heard me talk before, let me turn the box this way. You're going to see some of these examples I've used before. Okay, this is, just a moment, drum roll heat, please. Okay, this is an empty box. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. In every box. We're going to look at this in a minute. I need to put it where you can see it because I've got nothing up my sleeve, but you won't believe me if I don't prove it here. Okay, I got to put this where you can see it here. Okay, so this is an empty box. I'm going to put a book on top. I got to show you that it's empty Gesundheit. God bless you. Are you 6 feet away from your hand when you're covering your... Okay, never mind. Okay, so it's empty. Okay, so I'm going to put a book on top. The reason is just so it stays closed when I want it closed here. Our ancestors have believed a lot of things. They believe things like that big objects fall faster than small objects. They believed in bloodletting for people to get their diseases cured and stuff. They believe that some of them believe the world was flat. Next slide, please. The Bible says the world is round. So when people believe the world is flat, it's not because it's what the Bible says. The Lord looks over the circle or sphere. That Hebrew word could be translated either way. Of the earth. The ancient Greeks had discovered also about the size of the earth. Different peoples, the ancient Chinese, it appears that they discovered that too at different times. Knowledge is gained and lost in history. We kind of teach Western history like it's we're going up. No, that's not the way it is. That's just not what always happens. Sometimes it goes down. Anyway, according to the theory of evolution, which I don't believe in, but have we evolved in the last 10,000 years? No, we became humans about 50 or 100,000 years ago, according to their theory. So if our ancestors believed that a couple thousand years ago or even 1,000 years ago, aren't we susceptible to believing things that are untrue also? People believe that the rest of the universe revolved around the earth, right? Lots of things that people believe in. Let me just check this box again. Excuse me here. It's still empty. The box is still empty, okay? Father in heaven, please help Randy, who's sneezing and sneezing. Please help him, Lord. Okay, so people have believed lots of things. Bloodletting. Okay, can you go next slide, please? Blood is very interesting. Back in the book of Genesis, when Cain kills Abel, what does God say to Cain? What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out from the ground. Not his body, his blood. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? And in the Bible, in Leviticus, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. It's very interesting. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's some things in the Bible I don't understand, that we do not know, but it is consistent in its teaching. Christ had to die on the cross for our sins. Blood had to be shed. In the Old Testament period, you had to have, they sacrificed a lamb or other creature, but it was as a placeholder until the perfect sacrifice came. Okay, I need to show you this box again. Okay, now. Oh, my goodness. Hey, that's interesting. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's incredible. It's still empty. There's nothing in here. Okay, so pretty exciting, huh? Okay, so now if we took this box and put it up in an attic for 50 years, just a cool, dry place, and for purposes of this experiment, let's say there's no moths, no ants, no spiders, no rodents of any kind. 50 years later, it's just a cool, dry place. Purposes of experiment, we'll say that, okay? We pull it down. We brush off the dust after 50 years. We open it up logically, scientifically. What will be inside? Nothing, right? We know that in science, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Something from nothing for no reason is inherently unscientific. If we made a big box the size of the planet Earth and put it out in space, send it up there in parts, you know, use the shuttle or the different rockets and stuff to get it up there, closed up the box, and then 100 years later opened it up and looked inside, would we find anything in there? No, because something from nothing for no reason is inherently unscientific. If we made one the size of the universe and put it somewhere beside our universe and stuff, no. So what I'm contending is that something from nothing for no reason is inherently unscientific. Therefore, atheism is inherently unscientific. Now, wait a minute. What you've heard your whole life is, oh, no, that's pure science. No, it isn't. Just like our ancestors who believed the world was flat, who believed in bloodletting, who believed in other things, we can be wrong. Go to the next slide, please. We're looking at the empty box. And then next slide, please. Okay, then, before we go, don't go to the next slide yet. Okay, I'd like everyone to please raise your right hand, please. I'd like you to wiggle your pinky. Stop. Wiggle your ring finger. Stop. Wiggle your middle finger. Stop. Some of you people are mixed up in your fingers. Wiggle your forefinger. Stop. Wiggle your thumb. Stop. Wiggle all your fingers. Okay, go ahead and put your hand down. Just a moment ago, your fingers were all moving. I have a question for you. Why were your fingers moving? You are inside a shell. It is a very sophisticated biochemical electrical shell, but it's a shell nonetheless. We think we can control our bodies just because we can move the arms and legs around. But if you think about it, most of what our bodies do, we don't have any control over. I mean, digestion, I just ate a sandwich. Can you just excuse me for a minute? Okay, right? Or I got a cut on my finger, okay? Sorry, I got to get the blood to clot. Just a minute here. Yeah, I'll be right back with you. No, most of what our bodies do is on automatic. The eyes focus by themselves, right? Hearing takes place. And then in your brain, which is the most sophisticated thing in the universe, the human brain. Oh, my goodness. Incredible sophistication. Within the human body and within the brain in particular. If I told you that outside I had a car that's 20 years old and I've never changed the oil, I've never put new tires on it, I've never had to give it wiper fluid, never had to check the radiator, all I've had to do is keep giving it fuel, and it's 20 years old, and it's running fine, would you believe me? No, of course not. Right? Because cars don't run that way, right? You've seen automobile factories either in person or in films or something like that or documentaries. They can be miles long, automobile factory. If I told you I had a car that was 50 years old and I'd never changed the oil, never changed the tires, never had to add wiper fluid or water to the radiator, would you believe me? No, of course not, because that's unscientific to believe that. We know that this thing, which is created, which was created, designed, and built, engineered, comes from a big factory and stuff. But the human body can last 50 years without maintenance. Usually, not always. There are many people walking around who have never had surgery. After 20 years, that's when you're in your prime. 20 years old. I don't have enough faith to believe in evolution. We know that a car is assembled and put together. But the human body made of 100% biodegradable parts, self-assembling, partially self-repairing, fell together by accident? Oh, my goodness. How can people believe in evolution? Right? I mean, I'm sorry. Okay, it's just stunning to me. How can people believe that? The scientists, they're supposed to be the experts in science. They sometimes get it wrong. At the time of Galileo, for over 1,000 years, the scientists believed that the rest of the universe revolves around Earth. It started with Aristotelian astronomy and then particularly Claudius Ptolemy, who lived about 150 A.D. He was the one, very smart mathematician and astronomer, Claudius Ptolemy. There are several Ptolemies in ancient history. But he was the one who codified that the rest of the universe revolves around the Earth. Smart guy, but he got that wrong. So this became settled science. Okay, I'm using the word settled science on purpose because the evolutionists like to say, oh, this is settled science. Well, it's settled science, but sometimes you guys are wrong in your settled science. It was the church came along later, hundreds of years later, and they accepted that, oh, okay, well, the rest of the universe must be. So it wasn't the religion. Galileo is not a religion versus science. It's an example that the scientists are sometimes very wrong. That's what it's an example of, okay? Now, about 110 years ago, Albert Einstein was a young scientist. He had to compromise one of his theories in order to get published. Now, in academia, you have publish or perish. Okay, publish or perish. That's common in academia. As a young scientist, the dominant theory in astronomy was called the steady state theory. They believed that the universe was just there and stuff like that. But his calculation showed that the universe appeared to be expanding. Okay, but anyway, it's called Einstein's greatest blunder. Well, many scientists have to do that. Many scientists today have to do that. So what I'm saying is scientists are humans, just like us. Sometimes it's the minority of logical, scientifically thinking people who are correct. So when I said to you atheism is inherently unscientific, think about it for yourself. Your soul is at stake. This is much more important than some academic subject. Okay? So now I think we want to go to the next slide. Yes, we do. Okay, it is possible for a person to go insane. Just a moment, I got to look in the camera here. Oh, good, nobody's pointing at me. Thank you, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, folks, I appreciate that. It is possible for a person to go insane. You know that's true. Next slide, please. I would contend that it is possible for a small group, as a group, to go insane. Say some religious cult that rather than focusing on God, focuses on some human leader, space alien, demonic power, something like that. Possible for that group. There's a small group here in the room, but no one disagrees with me. That's possible. Can we go to the next slide, please? Okay, I would contend also that it's possible for a country, as a country, to go insane. I'll give you a couple examples. During World War II, Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan, one could argue, may disagree with me, that they had both become at least partially insane. Okay, one could argue that. Okay, I'm going to give you a different example. During the Cold War, the United States and the Soviet Union were both building, which I'm in the United States, both building nuclear weapons as fast as we could, spending billions, tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. Really incredible how much money all that stuff costs. Missiles we could never use. The two most powerful countries in the world were built spending so much money on weapons to destroy each other and potentially the Earth. You may agree or disagree, but one could contend that these two countries had become partially insane. You may agree or disagree. Okay, so now, if it is possible for an individual to go insane, if it is possible for a small group as a group to go insane, and if it is possible for an entire country to go insane, next slide, please, is it theoretically possible that the entire human race could be partly insane? Now, we don't like that. Nobody wants to think about that. But that's possible, isn't it? And in fact, that correlates with what the Bible says. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are out of sync with creation. We're out of sync with our Creator. Okay? Now, it's expressed in different ways in the Bible, in a different way. But I would contend, Jesus said, don't follow the broad path that leads to destruction. Follow the narrow path that leads to life. Just a second. Father in heaven, I do pray for wisdom again for the people who are watching this here in the room and also in the video, Lord. Please help us to learn. And even if the people who are watching this strongly disagree, help them to glean some wisdom, some ideas from this. Please, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's see. Next slide, please. Atoms are empty. Did you know this? Some people know it. Many people don't know this. You can look this up. If you were in a football stadium and looking down, if you had an orange at the 50-yard line, then the closest electron, that orange would be the nucleus. The closest electron would be at the goal zones, about, okay, and it would be tiny. It'd be like a pinhead. That's the closest electrons that are circling it. Atoms are empty. Now, not from science, but from mathematics, we can see that there appear to be more dimensions because the math doesn't work out the dimensions we have. And I know I'm only brushing over these certain things, but we're the ones in a hologram. If I was to say that nothing is here when I hit this table, I am over 99.9999% more accurate than saying that something is here. We are in a hologram in a way, okay? I know we don't like hearing this, but it's like, let's reconcile ourselves to the reality. When I lived in Berkeley, it was I told you I spoke to atheist groups tonight. And I am a truth seeker. I am a truth seeker. Okay, that's good. Truth seeker is good. It can be a position of pride. I am a truth seeker. Okay, now you got to, but once you start finding the truth, let's say you're a truth finder, now you got a problem. Because if you're logical, you better submit to the truth. So I'm telling you, we've got some truth here. Okay? One is, the majority may be wrong. You can't always trust group consensus. The scientists were wrong for over 1,000 years, believing the rest of the universe revolved around the Earth. They're wrong about evolution also, which we'll get into when we do part three. But this is, let's see, where am I at in my notes here? I think we want the next slide. Oh, next slide, please. Okay, and so what's interesting is mathematics appears to show that we have more dimensions than what we can see. And actually that was discovered by some rabbis about 800 years ago. I won't go into detail. Christians have never heard of these, but among Jews, educated Jews, they know about Maimonides and then his pupil Nachmanides. About 800 years ago, they're looking at the Hebrew in Genesis chapter 1. And what they just made a note on the side saying, it appears the Lord made the universe in 10 dimensions, of which only 4 are knowable by man. Isn't that interesting? It's in their notes 800 years ago. Why spend $1 billion training up mathematicians? Just read your Bible instead. Go to the next one, please. So it appears that in both mathematics and in religion, there's things that are out there beyond our science. So when you put science first, that you're limited in the dimensions we see. And that's not all of, I would contend that's not all of reality. Now, I mentioned about atheism and that it is not scientific. Therefore, I'm going to make a conclusion here. Therefore, it's logical to pray. Praying is talking to God or gods. Remember, I used to live in California. He, she, it, or they. Okay? God, are you out there? You may be a skeptic watching this or something, or not sure which religion. What makes you think your religion is right? Well, why don't you pray and ask God yourself? Creator, did you make me for a purpose? Or am I a piece of junk that evolved for no reason? Is there a meaning for my life? Why should I keep trying? Why should I keep going? Why this life is terrible so far, what I've seen. I mean, this may be your experience. I'm saying pray. God's not going to force themselves. Okay, I'm hitting all this. I know there's lots of things out there. But I contend that God is a he, because that's how he's revealed himself in Scripture. And it is logical to pray. That is what we need to do. When I lived in Berkeley, I'd actually on the whiteboard given a talk. Usually, many of the people look at me with hatred, with anger. I'm sorry, not everyone. Many of them, or they're looking at me with scorn, like. But I would write this prayer on the board, Creator, and I'd ask them, unless you're afraid, of course, them's fighting words. Unless you're afraid, sometime when you're alone, sitting in a park, your cell phone turned off, whatever, I want you to pray this. Creator, if you are there, and if you can hear me, please help me. Why not? Why not? Are you a truth seeker or not? Are you? Okay, right. Now, some atheists like to say, you can't prove there's a God to me. You can't prove there's a God to me. I answer different than most Christians. I say, not anymore. My Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's up to you. Up to you, pal. You need God a lot more than he needs you. You better figure this out. I know that's harsh. I'm going to come back to that. But that's just what it says. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. He reveals himself selectively. According to the Bible, we are a crop. There's wheat and there's chaff. If you want to be chaff, you can be chaff. It's terrible waste. Please don't decide that for yourself. Reach out. God, who are you? Please don't let me be deceived by the evil ones. That's another thing that's a part of every religion I can think of. There's good and evil spirits, good and bad angels, the three monotheistic religions, or you get into Hinduism or Buddhism, you've got good and evil spirits out there and stuff, right? I mean, so, okay, now, Lazarus and the rich man. I'm going to refer to this. Jesus tells a story that appears to not be a parable. It appears to be about two people. Dave, can you go to the next slide, please? And Lazarus was a poor man, afflicted with sores. He's in terrible health. His friends would lay him outside the gate of this rich man's house. The rich man didn't care about him at all. Evidently didn't care about anyone, cared about himself, but had a great time in his life. And then he dies. The rich man goes on to suffering. Lazarus goes on to being comforted. It says in Scripture he's in Abraham's bosom. Again, this appears to be a true story, the way Jesus told it, not a parable. And so we have Lazarus. The rich man is so unimportant, he's not even named. His name's not even there. And near the end of this brief conversation, Abraham says to him, the guy says, can you send someone to tell my brothers? Tell my brothers about this horrible place. Abraham's response, I would contend, similar to me. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. It's your job. I'm sorry, I'm pointing with a fork. I'm sorry. Everything here is professional, by the way, particularly me. Okay. But it is your job to seek out. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. It's not God's job to prove himself to you. Anyway, we'll get to that more. But it's like, okay, so he says, no, Father Abraham, but if one went to him from the dead, he will repent. Here's what Abraham says. He said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Did you know there's like 400 or 500 people who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead? Changed the Roman Empire, changed the history of the world. Hundreds of people saw Christ after he rose from the dead. He's mentioned in either 27 or 29 other pieces of secular literature, non-Christian literature. The skeptics like to say, oh, this is all this myth and stuff like that. No, sorry, keeps getting verified. People say, oh, there's lots of errors in the Bible. Show me one. If you don't have one, then repent. Be logical, okay? Be a truth finder, okay? And then be logical and submit to that truth. Okay. Jesus didn't try to convert the Pharisees. Now, when I spoke to the atheists, I was looking. Are there real truth seekers? Are there persons who haven't tried to speak to them in their language? Okay. Now, I don't know that Jesus converted any of the Pharisees. He wasn't really trying. He was actually trying to reach the regular people, the average people out there. Nicodemus is one who comes to Jesus at John chapter 3. He was the one who says, how can a man be born? Jesus said, you must be born again. I'm a big man now. I don't think I can be born again. There's some difficulties here. So he didn't understand what Jesus was saying. But I tried to reason, and because these are smart people. Many atheists are very smart. Now, many of them they're not actually atheists. They're anti-theists. They're angry at God. They're mad at God. And yes, this life is unfair. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Yeah? This life is unfair. Bad things happen. Are you forgiving or non-forgiving? How can you come to God and ask for forgiveness if you can't forgive God for the injustice and the inequality in this world, right? Okay. Anyway, let me keep coming down here. Okay. How much patience does a three-year-old have? You can have this cookie in 5 minutes. Okay, guess what's going to happen for the next 5 minutes? Into the world, unconstitutional, cruel, and unusual punishment. Okay, maybe not those words, but you get the idea. How much patience does a 30-year-old have? Should be more. Kathy, you say, depends on the 30-year-old. You can get into this house when you've got to save up money for another 6 months. Okay, you know what I mean? The average person. Okay, now, I know I think of a lot of weird things. I know that. How much patience does a 3,000-year-old being have? Okay, now, I know you probably haven't thought of that before. The demons, the fallen angels, they are thousands of years old. 6,000 years old probably for most of them or all of them. I don't know. How much patience does a 3,000-year-old being have? If it takes two or three generations to bring America down, is that so long? Now, to us, that's a very long time. 1962, 1963, they take prayer and the Bible out of the public schools. If it only takes a couple generations later to then bring America to a point where we got rioting in the streets, people shining lasers at the police and saying, oh, police brutality. One officer does something in some city, and I know it's bad. That's horrible. Why should 1,000 police officers suffer from that? Why should our cities then be torn up? People trying to burn down businesses? What's this insanity? I'm moving in that direction. Again, I have felt a strong burden for the last few months. I need to try to impart some wisdom, and that starts with restoring our foundation. The Judeo-Christian foundation for America is a logical one, the Judeo-Christian. It is unscientific to believe in something from nothing for no reason. Therefore, we have a God or gods. Therefore, it is logical to pray, right? Okay. I'm preaching to the choir. I look at everybody in the room. They're agreeing with me. I need to be talking to you. Yeah. No. Yeah. Don't look around. You see me looking at you. Okay. I need to be talking to you is who I need to be talking to. So I'm not good at public speaking, by the way. Okay. I thought I better clue you in. My mind jumps all around. Pray for wisdom. Pray for protection from deceptions. Okay. Now, the Olivet Discourse, which I don't have on here, that's fine. I wasn't able to make all my slides. I do apologize. Is in three of the four Gospels. The Olivet Discourse is where Jesus is talking about the end times. You'll hear of earthquakes, famines, earthquakes in diverse places, famines, wars and rumors of wars, but that's not the end yet. That's in three of the four Gospels. It's in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. It's important enough. It's the three of the four Gospels. I was studying all three versions one day. This is a few years ago. And it leaped out at me the very first thing Jesus says, take heed that you be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no one deceives you. Oh, my goodness. That's what it says the first thing. We're living in the worst age of deceptions in the history of the world. And I believe that what Jesus said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, I'm turning around to face you, that this is the first thing we need to do because the deceptions are everywhere. We have false news. I call it baby news. I know that the term out in the political world is fake news and stuff like that. Well, I've actually been calling it that for years now, false news or baby food news, where they just, here's your diet, here's the news. Okay, it matches exactly what we were saying yesterday, right? Okay, yeah, then you just believe us. Don't find out what else is going on out there. Anyway, we need to take heed that we be not deceived because there are so many deceptions out there. There's a verse in the scripture that says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. This is tragic. So many people are, it's like, you know, where is the truth? Where is it out? Okay, I get a certain amount of hate mail and sarcastic letters sent me on a regular basis. This is a postcard I got this week, somebody in California. San Bernardino is the postmark. I don't know who the guy is. He writes to me sometimes. I get a certain amount of sarcastic stuff. I get hackers attacking me, not because of Paulzilla, because of the creationism.org. They hate that the truth of creation is getting out there because I link to everybody, almost everybody. I link to and I have lots of free videos online. And just, you know, take a look. If you're not interested, don't. Remember with Lazarus, here, you know, it is your job to research. I have people write to me and say, can you tell me this or that? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Click a few times. Don't sprain your wrist. Click a few times. Now, I'll admit something to you. I've actually written to people. I don't remember ever being pregnant. Therefore, I'm not your mother. So it's not my job to spoon feed you. Okay, I'm sorry, but I have. Okay, thank you. Thank you. But I mean, it's like, no, look, I got a Google search engine built in. I got a Bing search engine built in. Click a few times. Ah! Okay. Anyway, people say, oh, why don't you tell me? I am. I did. And 1,000 other people. Okay. Let's see here. The enemies of the gospel and of America are getting stronger. For lack of a better nation, America is, for generally speaking, the enforces the rule of law in the international community. England used to do that. Obviously, World War I and World War II, and then the fall of the British pound, then it kind of transitioned to America. What comes after America if we fall? It might be China. It might be the Muslim nations. I don't know. It might be something else. Who knows? Okay, I think we're ready to actually go to the next slide, please. Now, what is most important? What is the essence of what we need to do? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said, right? He didn't say, if you love me, offer me lots of praise and worship. Now, we need to do that, but keep my commandments, right? If you love me. Commandment number one, love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Commandment number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Now, where am I at here in my notes? I just love this kind of stuff here. Hold this moment here. Okay. For example, when you're coming to church, here's what most people do. Oh, good, I'm going to come and receive. No. No, it's more blessed to give than to receive, isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus said? Our prayer should be, Lord, help me to bless others, right? Lord, how can I help someone else? Lord, help me to give to other people. Isn't that what we should do, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. When you go and park at a store or at the library, post office, some people try to zoom in at that closest parking place. Is that what we should do? So I think no. I think I purposely park for a little bit further away usually. I'll leave the closest spots for someone who needs it. Give preference one to another, right? I mean, I'm sorry, this is a minor thing. Should you drive slow in the left lane? No. Now, many people do. Americans do. I learned how to drive mostly in Germany, by the way. You're in the right lane unless you're passing someone. I can't understand these crazy Americans. Okay, but anyway, let's see, some other examples, using your turn signals. When do you see strangers? See, the Bible says many times, how do you treat a stranger, right? How do you, strangers, widows, and orphans, strangers, widows, and orphans. This is many times, how do you treat someone who you'll never see again? Jesus said, if you give someone a glass of water in my name, that's as if you've given it to Jesus, right? We need to take this seriously. It's not you go and pray and do your church thing for an hour on Sunday and then hit that door. No, this is all the time. This is how we live. That is not what saves us. That is not what brings us to the Lord, but it needs to be who we are, okay? Now, I want to tell a story briefly that I told once before, but I'm saying it for the benefit of the camera. A few years ago, I was at Sam's Club, and I parked further away, like I usually do, and then I'm walking towards the door, and this woman pushed her cart into the parking space next to her car, which is a good parking space right up front. And so I said, are you leaving the cart there? And she didn't really, she was in fine health, nothing wrong with her, maybe in her 30s or 40s. And so I went to go get the cart. And without thinking, honest, this was not premeditated. Some of you heard the story before. I said, oh, you must not be a Christian. Now, this is not premeditated, it's just she's not a Christian. Okay? I'm sorry. It is not your words, it is your actions. It's not your words, it's your actions. Now, again, it was not premeditated. Oh, you must not be a Christian. And she said, yes, I am. And I said, well, why would you leave your cart, you know, in the parking space, you know? And she said, Lord bless, or God bless you. And I said, see you on Judgment Day. And took her cart to the cart corral, where any adult would have done. You take your cart, and you, this is a minor thing. It's a little thing. Okay, again, maybe I was being judgmental. You people watching the video, oh, boy, this guy's just been screwing up the whole time he's been talking at us. Now he went overboard. Okay, now, I got another one here, all this stuff to bring you. I think that we're going to have jobs in heaven, okay? You've never heard a sermon on that before, have you? I think we are going to have jobs in heaven. What kind of job do you want? Do you want a good job or a bad job? Because the interview is happening right now. It's happening today. Okay, next slide, please. We know that, so running the race to win, okay? St. Paul, run the race to win, or you just kind of squeak in. Yeah, I said a prayer once, and now I go to church on most Sundays, and when the offering comes around, I put in $5 or $10, you know. Okay, so no, or are you trying to run the race to win? Angels have jobs, right? Adam and Eve, before the fall, before they had sin, they had a job, didn't they? Take care of the garden. Job's a good thing. Jobs today are a good thing, young people, you millennials out there. I'm sorry. But, okay, we had their responsibilities. Adam and Eve did. I think that we will have jobs in the next life. And I think that we tend to think of heaven as all just kind of, oh, I made it into heaven. Okay, good. Well, wait a minute. That's like saying, oh, I made it on the planet Earth. There are different environments on planet Earth. There might be different environments in heaven. I don't know. Okay, I made it into heaven. Hey, this looks like a desert. Is that a scorpion? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like just making it, just barely making it. Anyway, it's better to think this through. There's a saying here on Earth, he who dies with the most toys wins. Who's heard that before? You've heard it? Most people. Actually, I want to change that. He who dies with the most toys is the biggest fool of them all. Okay, because this is life. It's not what it's about. This is a temporary time of learning and testing. Part of the gospel message, preach the gospel to the poor, is that this life isn't it. You may not make it. Probably you won't make it. Most of us won't have a lot in this life. Hey, St. Peter, I was a big shot down on earth. I seem to have forgotten my wallet. Where's the ATM up here? Yeah, Peter. Oh, stand over here on the this here. This looks like a metal thing with a gap in the middle and hinges on both sides. Well, why am I standing here? Okay, don't be a failure, okay? Collecting lots of money, stepping on as many people as you can. What does it profit a man if he makes $1 billion but loses his soul? What does it profit a woman, I just said man, if she has a cooking show, she has a big 10-bedroom house, maids to take care of it, but loses her soul? What does it profit a man if he builds a software empire in Silicon Valley but loses his soul? What does it profit a woman if she becomes a well-known politician and rises to the top in Congress or in the White House or something like that but loses her soul, right? It's our soul that's most important. Pain does not stop at death, okay? This is important, folks, okay? There are multiple judgments. We don't talk about that often. I'm talking to Christians also. There are multiple judgments out there. Are you living the Christian life? Next slide, please. Pure religion and undefiled before God is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do we treat people who are powerless? How do we treat people who will never see again? This is important, okay? This is very important. In some of the modern churches, by the way, I'm getting close to wrapping up, okay? In some modern churches, you know, it's let's give the Lord a sacrifice of praise. Ooh. Okay, that's not that that's bad. It's not that that's bad. It's just that that's not where you should be focused. We need to give the Lord praise. How does the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Hallowed be thy name. We need to praise the Lord. We need to give thanksgiving. But that's not where, we don't stop there. Let's see, I think we want next slide, please. 1 Samuel 15:22. Does the Lord have, I'm not going to quote it exactly, you can read it. Does the Lord have as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice than rather than in obeying the voice of the Lord? We need to obey God. We need, to obey is better than sacrifice. Okay, this is 1 Samuel. This is back in the middle of the Old Testament times. Okay, next slide, please. Micah, one of the minor prophets. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Blah, blah, blah. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let me repeat that. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Now, that's Old Testament. Let me jump to the New Testament. Matthew 23:23. This is the chapter where Jesus says, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He says here, you pay your tithe of things, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. I see a real parallel between that and Micah, justice, mercy, and walking humbly with God, judgment, mercy, and faith. I think it's a parallel, maybe a different way of saying about the same thing. Ecclesiastes, next slide, please. 12. These are the last two verses in Ecclesiastes from halfway through human history, about 1000 BC. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We are to do, we are to live the Christian life. If you're in your church, they're ordering God around. Some of the churches are, God, I want you to, you have to obey your, do your promises. You promise such and such as, get out of that church. Leave. Don't go back. I'm serious. Don't go back. Let's see, what's my next slide here? I got to make sure where I'm at here. Micah, Matthew 23. Oh, it's on the next page. Ecclesiastes, we're right there. Okay. Now, Jesus gave us an example. He taught us how to pray, not just the Lord's Prayer. Next slide, please. In Luke 18, verses 10 through 14, two men go up to the temple and pray. One guy says, hey, I'm not like other men. I'm a pretty good guy, if I do say so myself. I tithe, I fast twice a week, I do all this good stuff. I'm not like this Republican here. I get publicans and Republicans mixed up, excuse me. I'm sorry, a little joke there. My jokes aren't very good, but I got to throw them in when I can. Anyway, I'm not like this guy. And the other man says, slide, please. The Republican, standing far off, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Right, a sinner. He knows he's a bad man. He knows he's got problems. He knows he's weak. He knows he makes mistakes. Okay, this is the man who goes home justified. If you're in a church, speaking to the camera, if you're in a church where they like to order God around, get out of there. They're not teaching Christianity. This is Christianity, okay? This is Bible-based. I purposely gave you verses from both the Old and New Testament to show you a continuity. Okay, now, I'm going to pause and open it up to questions from people here in the room. But I want to mention a couple other things because I did speak to atheist groups. I address them. What I want you to do is give Christianity a chance, and that doesn't mean the people because we're all imperfect. And the guys on TV or who make videos, the guys on TV are some of the worst examples of Christianity. Yeah, can I hear a louder amen, please? Yeah, I mean, they're some of the worst examples. They want money. They're if you send us $10, $20, we'll send you this prayer handkerchief that we prayed over. And it's like, no, that's not what Christianity is about. What I encourage you to do or challenge you to do is read the Gospel of John. So the Gospel of John is the fourth book of the New Testament. In a Bible, let me face this towards you. I use my Bible for notes also, so it's not, I should have brought a better one here. But the Old Testament is about two-thirds or three-fourths of the Bible, if you can kind of see the volume here. And then what's called the Old Covenant, the Tanakh to Jewish people, okay? And the Tanakh, Tanakh is what's called, excuse me. Then what Christians call the New Testament starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I challenge you to read John. John is thematic. It's actually a different organization than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It might actually make more sense. So turn to the Gospel of John. Now, at the very end of the Bible, there's three very small books called 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Those are good books too, but that's not what I'm talking about. The Gospel of John is like 21 or 22 chapters, and it's not an email. Read it. Don't skim it. Just read it and see if the God of the Bible won't speak to you. I believe he will. Either that, or you can read Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, or also by C.S. Lewis, The Problem of Pain, because that's something Christians have had to deal with. Why do we believe there's a good God when there is so much pain in the world? Children dying of starvation, stuff like that, The Problem of Pain. One other book by Francis Schaeffer, Escape from Reason. Okay, it's Francis Schaeffer, Escape from Reason. And so depending on your style, where your background, where you're coming from, I would recommend you to start with John or Mere Christianity, The Problem of Pain, both by C.S. Lewis, or Escape from Reason. Okay. Now, let me see where we're at here. Next slide, which I think is blank. Okay. The slide after this. I want to give a brief summary of the next seven talks. I talked a little bit. Because we are spiritual beings, we are more than just physical. Remember that atoms are empty. This is a temporary physical incarnation. When you die, it's not the end of all of time. Let me again speak to skeptics. About 15 years ago in Psychology Magazine, there was an article on negative near-death experiences. I'll look it up and find it. It's here on the screen. This is the issue. Negative near-death experiences. Most people talk about positive ones, and there are some fake ones. There are some fake ones. It's kind of like money. There's some fake money. But at the end of the day, I don't say, oh, gee, this might be fake. Ooh, that might be fake. I better get rid of this. What is this guy doing? Oh, this might be fake. I better get rid of it. And nobody's running forward here to get those because I can get there faster. Okay, right? So it's true. Some money may be fake, but some money might be real. No, look at me here. I'm up here. Quit looking at it down there. Okay. I did practice this ahead of time. You know that, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey. Hey, let's see. What's his name here? What's his? Okay, never mind. I better keep this. Okay, I made my example. Let's see. I was talking about something here. What was I talking about? What this life is about or something like that?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. So it's not about just making money. You have to have money. But money is a tool. It's not the focus, okay? We are so complex. Again, the human body, it's 100% biodegradable. The factories for building new ones are built inside us. Isn't that just stunning? Self-assembling, partly self-repairing? If you've seen a car or a 747, a Honda Accord, a Honda Civic, and a Honda Prelude have some parts of the same. That is not an indication that they evolved for no reason. It's because they had the same designer. A Boeing 707, 727, 737, 747 have some parts that are similar. It's not because it fell together accidentally. It's because they had the same designer. Some primates and humans have some parts that are the same. It's not because we evolved. It's because we had the same designer. And as I told you, I don't have enough faith to believe in evolution. We fell together by accident for no reason. I just don't have enough faith to believe that. There's a lot more we can talk about. When we get to creation theory, we will there's money on the floor. We'll talk about that. Did I tell you I'm having problems with short-term memory? Is this people throwing tips up here at me? Okay, never mind. I threw that there. And this fork can reach. Okay, let's see. Let's see. So here. Okay, the Christian gospel message. You need to know how to get right with God, how to pray, and then how to start studying the Bible, and to begin living the Christian walk. You may only know part of it. When I was in the Bay Area, I would visit all kinds of places. I went to a Mormon church, tried to teach them about creation. Now, let me explain, because I'm in a Christian church, and I'll go, you went to a Mormon church. Well, it's like you've got to start coming to the truth somehow, somewhere. When Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, she was a woman who had bad doctrines, right? The woman at the well. Your fathers say you should worship in the temple. Our fathers say we should worship on this mountain. So people who are wrong, maybe it's not because they want to be wrong. Maybe they need to hear that the beginning of the Bible really is true. I went to the Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall. They had a story in the Jehovah's Witness magazine, Watchtower, I think it's called, about this woman in Siberia who, over 15 years ago. And so the Soviet Union has collapsed. Russia is starting to open up. The Jehovah's Witnesses did not have their own Bibles yet. So, thank the Lord, they're giving away Protestant Bibles and Protestant New Testament in Russian. Okay, isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful of them? Really appreciate that, guys. Okay, and this woman who had been in magic and witchcraft since she was a teenage girl and she and stuff like that. Well, after the demons no longer needed her, she's having nightmares, and they're coming, and she's afraid. She's having all kinds of spiritual problems, and she starts reading the New Testament. And she prays, not knowing much about the Bible, but she prays, Jesus, if you are stronger than these evil spirits, would you please save me? And God delivered her from the demons. So you don't have to become an expert on doctrine. You just need to do what you know. What you know how to do, that's where we need to start. Even if it's an imperfect messenger who gets it to you, you've got to start somewhere. Okay, the Bible and creation theory, we're going to talk about that. The integrity of the Bible really is true. And creation theory, which I know something about since I have creationism.org. And then nutritions. How many traffic accidents are there each year because of poor nutrition? That's a weird one, isn't it? It's true. If someone's low on vitamin C, it's just really amazing how sickly. I live in a blue-collar neighborhood, and I'll tell you what, many of the people around me, it's like I see them out there, and it's like, oh, my goodness, how could you let yourself? Your health gets so far down, and that means the reactions are going to be slower, everything else. Finances I talked about a little earlier. Politics. I'm going to hit that right now in world history just a little bit. Next slide, please. I just want to give you a taste of the later ones and then the one after that. Benito Mussolini. As a young man, he got into trouble a lot. His problem was they had a liberal government. Okay, I'm sorry. I know I'm stepping on toes here. I'm sorry. But so they didn't punish him. What's happening now? Oh, these prisoners might get the flu. We better let them out of jail. Let them back. And I don't know where you get your news from, but I'll tell you what. There's some people been murdered now because they let these guys out of prison. There was one man who was accused of rape. He hadn't had his trial yet. He killed the woman who accused him of rape. Another man, I don't remember what he was in for, but then he went and killed someone at a drugstore, a particular chain and stuff like that. Anyway, these guys, when they go through the system and go, is that the toughest you got? They get stronger and stronger. They get more and more radicalized. Do you remember that word, radicalized? Okay, next slide, please. Benito Mussolini then became a politician. He was a good speaker. He's out there, and they're starting to get getting his folks there. Next slide. Fascism. So, in Jonah Goldberg's book, which I'll show a close-up of, Liberal Fascism, this is a very good book. Jonah Goldberg is an editor at National Review Magazine. And in here, it's a very good read. At one point, he's talking about Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village, and shows that it's the same way of thinking as fascism. Fascism was to bundle the sticks together. Bundling the people together like sticks. That's what it was about. You bundle the people together, and now you treat them as a group, okay, rather than as individuals, okay? So fascism, okay, next slide, please. His fascists then were very violent. They were proud. You are going to do what we say. They're all holding daggers. The 30,000 people he got, it didn't take that many. Italy was a country of millions of people. He only had 30,000 fascists, and that's what he was able to take over Italy. We are in danger in America. Okay, as these guys are getting radicalized, they're going through these liberal things, and who's getting arrested? The honorable person who tries to defend the businesses are the ones who are getting arrested, right? And the Antifa, which I call 100% FA, are out there getting more and more violent, okay? The 100% FA. So, okay, these guys then with their knives and stuff, they did all kinds of stuff. They'd make someone who they didn't like drink a whole bottle of castor oil. You know what that would do to the human body? Oh, my goodness, next few days you're completely incapacitated. Next slide, please. Mussolini was the editor of Avanti newspaper, which was their version of Pravda. Okay, he was not a right-wing. Oh, that's another thing. In the whole the deceptions, they keep saying right-wing, those right-wing fascists. No, the fascists were left-wings, just like the Nazis, just like the Soviets. They were all left-wing, 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 left-wing. He decided Avanti wasn't radical enough, just as, and again, I know I'm straying here, but I'm trying to show you this later things here. There's some people who say that some leaders in the Congress who are left-leaning, oh, they're not radical enough. To me, as a person who loves history, oh, my goodness, this scares me. They're not radical enough. Oh, no, history is going to repeat itself. Next slide. So they started fires in union halls. You're not left-wing enough. Next slide. Mussolini is one of these guys in this balcony. Look at the crowd below. The people will eat it up. The people will eat it up. We need to be praying for wisdom, praying for protection from deceptions. These guys, look at how these people just flooding on in. Next slide. This is in Rome in front of the Colosseum, the fascist troops doing marching. Next slide. I'm almost done here. Mussolini and Hitler together. So Adolf Hitler, similar. Nazi, N-A-Z-I, is from the German. It's a contraction of National Socialist. Left wing, left wing, left wing. Hey, do you know when Hitler joined the Nazi Party in the 1920s, they were meeting in a gay bar. I think it was in Munich. There's a good book called The Pink Swastika that shows that history. And it's like, oh, my goodness. And you see the parallels of sexual perversion and then how they came into power and how ruthless they were. Did you say I'm perverted? And they would beat anyone. So I'll probably be dead. I'm going to heaven before the rest of you. Woohoo! Okay, so anyway, but here's the Mussolini and Hitler. They were on the same side in World War II. Both of them very arrogant men. One thing about the Antichrist, that one of the names for him is the lawless one. These guys are against the rule of law. I make the law. I. Oh, next one, I got a picture of Vladimir. Next slide, please. Vladimir Lenin, Soviet Union, similar kind of thing. Next picture is another from the same speech, just Lenin. And last, this is our very last slide. I'm sorry it took so long for this talk. They're destroying churches in the Soviet Union, pulling bells down and then breaking the buildings down and stuff like that. So the Soviets were different from the Nazis in that, whereas the Nazis concentrated on the Jews, the Soviets were against any religion, Christianity, Islam, Jewish, Jews, or anybody else. And so they had enforced atheism. Okay, so my intent in this is to try to start rebuilding the foundation. And that means we need to be praying, and we need to pray to the right God, not the false gods. I had a Buddhist friend several years ago who I said, well, when you pray, because they can pray to lots of different gods, why not pray to the Creator? Okay? That puts them closer to my camp, okay? Pray to the Creator God. So anyway, we're trying to get people closer to the truth. We all have errors in our doctrines, in our beliefs. It's just part of it. Most of the time when Jesus was asked a direct doctrinal question, he changed the question when he gave an answer. That's a clue to us that we have very limited understanding.